Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We're starting a new parable today. Well, I say it's new, but I'm sure every one of you will know something about it. We're turning to Luke's Gospel and the chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. It's a chapter with three very well-known parables. Lost sheep, lost silver, lost son. So you'll remember those three lost things. They're mentioned here in this chapter. Well, we're going to deal with the first lost sheep. We're being very agricultural these days, aren't we? We were with sheep in our last parable, and we're still with sheep in this parable. I think one of the reasons the Lord made many references to sheep was the fact that as soon as he began to speak about sheep, everybody was with him. Everybody could see what it was he was saying and understand because they knew about sheep. Now, most of you probably, the closest you have come to sheep is driving past a field in which they are and looking in on them grazing. That's about it. But with Israel, that was very, very much different. Every family had connections with sheep. And it's very, very likely that in the very home, the family home, at some time or another, a little sick lamb would have been brought into the warmth of the home so that it could be constantly watched and cared for, so that everybody had been very much acquainted with sheep, their behaviour, etc., etc. And the Saviour, being the all-wise teacher, used that which would convey to his listeners the truth of God that they could understand readily. He wasn't going to launch out into some subject matter that they were not aware of, but he's going to deal with that which they could easily grasp. And that's why we find him here returning to the subject of sheep. Let's read the first seven verses, for there is the parable. Verse 1 then of chapter 15 of Luke. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them. That's important. Unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our heart. Something just has occurred to me, even as I read these words, which would not fit in with what I'm about to say, but I'm hoping that when the time comes for me to say what I'm now thinking, I'll remember it. Isn't it a problem? I really should write it down, but then that would somewhat interrupt my delivery. Hopefully, having said all that, you see, I'll etch it on my memory so that when the time comes, I'll be able to recall the thought that occurred to me just now. The first thing we're going to do is to notice those who were interested in hearing Christ, for that is what we're told right off, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Listen to me. If you want to hear Christ, you've got to draw near. If you want to hear me, it's no good sitting out on the wall outside. You'll not hear me out there. Oh, you might say, well, sometimes when you shout, we'd nearly hear you out there. Well, that's quite true, but then that would only be a wee bit of what I'm saying. If you want to hear me, you've got to come in here and sit down. If you want to hear the Lord, you've got to draw near to him. You've got to draw aside. You've got to leave everything behind, everything aside, and come into his presence. Now, you could be sitting here today and yet not drawing near to the Saviour. In your mind, you could be still running about outside, You could be playing a game of football in your mind. You could be doing all sorts of things, thinking about things, and you're not drawing near to the Lord. Oh, this morning, draw near to the Lord. Determine within your own heart and mind, I'm going to listen to what the Bible has to say this morning. Maybe there'll be a word for me. The publicans and sinners, it says, drew near to him. They're not exactly the people you would have thought would have come to hear the Savior. I've explained before, but I'll explain again. Publicans were not the publicans that we know in this country. A publican here in Northern Ireland, and probably in most parts, certainly all of the UK, is a person who owns a public house, that is, a drinking den. But that's not the meaning of the word here. A publican, quite literally, was a farmer of taxes. Just you think about that. Farmers normally grow grass, grow barley, wheat, other vegetables, look after herds of cattle, sheep, dairy herds. That's what farmers grow here. But the publican was a farmer of taxes. He looked after the taxes of the nation. What he did was, for the Roman Empire, was look after the collecting of taxes for them. Now, the way it worked was, they took a district, and they said, well, now we reckon there should be £10,000 worth of taxes in that district. So, Mr. Publican, if you give us £8,000, then you can go around the district and you can collect whatever you want by way of tax. So the chances, well, not even a chance, it was a certainty that he would gather in from the district far more than £8,000. That's what I mean, and that's what the word means, by farming taxes. He reaped the benefits and the profits of collecting taxes in an area. Now, he was a man with a bad reputation. He was reckoned to be a crook. He was reckoned to be a liar. And just about everything that's bad, that's what he was reckoned to be. Because the collecting of the taxes, generally speaking, was almost a bit like the mafia. You've heard of the mafia. Gangsters. They operated in cities in the Italy area, but then they moved to America and became a stable part of the society in America. Particularly the big cities, particularly, I suppose, we would talk about New York. And what these gangsters did was go around the area, go around all the shopkeepers and businessmen in the area and said, look, pay us so much every week and we'll not burn your building. We'll not shoot your customers. That's blackmail. That's protection rackets. And that's how they gathered in very vast sums of money. Well, the publicans are a wee bit like that. You pay me what I'm telling you, you have to pay me or else. So they had a bad reputation. They were anything but beloved of the people. And yet, find them gathering near to hear the Savior. You know, boys and girls, I think heaven will show that the majority of those who are in heaven came from those sections of society that had been deep in sin. You didn't have to argue with them that they were sinners. They knew they were sinners. And oftentimes amongst them there was a deep yearning for deliverance from sin. And you find that here. Here they are. The publicans and the sinners drew near for to hear him. In the days of great revival, I would say the vast majority of people who gathered out to hear the preaching of the gospel were like these, the publicans. Oh, there were decent people there, respectable people there. Of that there is no doubt. Indeed, it would have been decent, respectable people that was organizing the meetings for the revival. But the majority of people that would have come to hear the preaching were likely like these publicans and sinners. I love the story of Whitfield down, I think it was in Bristol. And George Whitfield was preaching, as only George Whitfield could preach, to thousands of miners from that area who had gathered out. Now, they were sinners by and large. I'm not saying there would have been no decent men amongst them, upright men, I'm not saying that. But I would say that the majority of them were wild, drinking, cursing, fighting men who had no interest in God. Yet when Whitfield came to preach, there was within them a desire, and like what we read in verse 1, they drew near to hear him. The most of them, if not all of them, had come straight from the mine, and they were as black as coal, their faces and their hands. And as George Whitfield preached, what a preacher he was, the power of God came down and blessed the words that he uttered to the hearts of those men. The story is told, it's true, that those men's hearts were melted and began to cry over their sin, cry over their rebellion against the Lord. And as they cried, the tears ran down their face and had washed off the coal dust. And you could see those men standing with white stripes, the tears washed away the coal dust. That must have been some sight. That must have been the most marvelous thing. Sinners drawing near. Sinners here, by the way, that class of people were just the well-known down-and-outs and just rascals, male and female, who lived without a thought of God, lived in defiance of God's law, lived carelessly, wickedly. Here was a crowd that really needed the gospel. We ought to pray, boys and girls, that the people out there who need the gospel will be so moved by God that they will come near, come in under the sound of the gospel. Only God can bring them in. So, I want you to notice who it is that is gathered here to listen to the Savior. They didn't know what he was going to say. It wasn't advertised that he's going to preach on the lost sheep. No, they didn't know what it was. They just wanted to hear his words. His word. Notice those who stood ready to criticize the Savior. One crowd, partly made up of publicans and sinners, but we're told in the verse 2, and the Pharisees and the scribes were there as well. Now they considered themselves the very opposite to the publicans and the sinners. The Pharisees and the scribes would consider themselves very proper individuals. Very holy individual. And they weren't there to hear. They weren't there to listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. What were they there to do? Precise. So the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They murmured. That word is made up of the sound they made as they complained. You couldn't quite, if you were standing back a little bit, you couldn't quite understand what they were saying. You couldn't quite hear the words they were saying, but you could catch murmuring. That's where you get the word murmuring. It's the sound of almost under the breath muttering and complaining. And they murmured. You know, boys and girls, if your heart's not right with God, what you say will give you away. You see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And what's in there? No matter how you want to try and conceal it, it'll come out. It'll come out. It'll reveal itself. You'll try to hide it, but it'll reveal itself. And the heart of these men revealed itself, muttering against the Lord Jesus. What was it they were complaining about? They said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I think you will find there a complaint. This man doesn't associate with us. He doesn't come and keep our company. He doesn't keep away from the publicans and sinners as we do. But instead he goes to them and he keeps away from us. That, I think, was their complaint. That was their complaint. Because they thought themselves without sin. They thought themselves holy. They thought themselves that by their own actions and their keeping of certain rituals and traditions and attending the temple services and sacrifices and saying prayers that they believed would be accepted of God, they thought they were all right. These sinners, they're not all right. And so they're pointing out here, you see, that the Savior, he didn't really associate with them, but he did readily associate with the publicans and the sinner. It's out of that background the Savior taught this particular parable. It's important that we notice this, for verse 3 says, and he spake this parable unto them. Unto who? The murmurers. the complainers, the Pharisees and the scribes who are complaining about his behavior and the Savior. It has to be noticed. Kindly, patiently, explains why it is that he's associating with the publicans and the sinners. He explains to them, how kind is the Lord? Not the first time these men have murmured and muttered against him. Not the first time. If it was you or me, we would open our mouth and we would give them a tongue lashing. That's what we would do. We would scold them for their wicked murmurings. But not the Savior. Patiently he spake this parable unto them. Listen to me, boys and girls. That's how the Lord patiently deals with you and with me. Long ago. Long ago. If you're not saved this morning. Long ago. He should have given you up. You've turned from him again and again and again and again. You have given him every reason to cast you aside. But the Lord doesn't. He's speaking to you today. And he has words for you in this parable. The Lord Jesus in this parable is directly addressing the truly wicked ones in the crowd. The hard-hearted, stubborn, blinded sinners in the crowd who thought themselves holy and were thus much deceived. It's to them he speaks. Now, of course, those who had come near to hear him, the publicans and the sinners, the words, while directed at the Pharisees and the scribes, the words nevertheless would be a benefit to them as well. And this wonderful parable we have because the Lord in his patient mercy was speaking to those hard-hearted, defiant, mocking Pharisees and scribes who stood probably on the fringes of the crowd and murmured against him. Murmured against him. Our time's finished, so we're going to leave it until we come back again to you. But I want you to think about it. Just look. There's only four more verses in the parable, and I still haven't come to that thought, which thankfully is still in my head, that came to me while I was reading. But I'll get round to it, I hope, in one of our studies of this portion. Good to see you today. Give heed to the Lord. Draw near to him. Draw near and listen to his word this day, for there'll be other occasions during the day in which the word of God is presented to you. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank thee for your kindness and your mercy. Mercy to the worst of men. Your patience with the most sinful of men. The most ill-deserving, undeserving of men. Lord, we see ourselves in that category. Lord, you had mercy upon us when we so deserved judgment and wrath. Bless the boys and girls, I pray. Be with us today as a school. Meet the needs of our school and undertake in every matter. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.